following is the President's speech at Ashland, Kentucky, Friday, October 1st, 1948.
Gentlemen, thanks a million to all you fine folks who are assembled here today. This is indeed a great honor to Ashland, and we appreciate this train being stopped here to give our President time to speak to us. We have quite a few notables on the train, and I'm going to introduce them one at a time. Be patient with us. The President will be with you in a few moments. Ladies and gentlemen, it's indeed with a great deal of pleasure that I present to you one of Ashland's and your hometown boys, Harry T. Lehman, who is now the chairman of the Speaker Bureau for the Kentucky State Democratic Campaign Headquarters. Harry Lehman. Now next, it's my great pleasure to present the 7th District Judge Roy Helm, nominee for the Judge of the Court of Appeals, Judge Helm. And now our good friend and congressman from the 8th District and Greenup County, the Honorable Joe Bates. And now again, it seems as though Ashland, man of great importance today, is a great deal of pleasure to represent Charles H. Garfield, Aeronautical Commissioner of the State of Kentucky. Charlie Garfield.
Thank you, Mr. Garfield.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I deem this a particular honor. The next man I'm going to introduce, an old friend of mine. He and I came from the same county. He's a little older than I am, but I can say this. I'm the oldest, youngest supporter he's got in Kentucky. The Honorable Virgil, Congressman Virgil Chapman, in the 8th District, the next senator of the United States of Kentucky. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is indeed an honor for me to present the next man. A man that I want you folks to really get acquainted with better. You know him. He's making us one of the finest governors Kentucky ever had. The Honorable Earl Clemens, Governor of the State of Kentucky. Earl Clemens. Thank you, Governor. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's all what we've all been waiting for. Thank you for your patience. Ladies and gentlemen, fellow Democrats, and distinguished guests of Kentucky and the tri-state area, this is indeed a great day for our community. And you folks have made it so by your presence here in such great numbers. I want you to know we all appreciate it. To our most distinguished guest, we welcome to Ashland, Kentucky, and thank him for allowing us the privilege of meeting and visiting with him. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States and the next President of the United States.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much. I particularly like the cracker on that introduction. The next President of the United States. I'm certainly delighted to be in Ashland. And I am also very sorry because I'm leaving Kentucky. This will be my last stop in the great state of Kentucky. And I had a reception almost as large as this when I came into the state. And at Owensboro, and at Louisville, at Lexington, at Winchester, at nearly every place we stopped, It looked to me as if everybody in Kentucky's there, and I think they are all here this time. You know, I'm going across the country trying to explain to the people that there is a great stake in this campaign. The basic issue is whether our government is to be an instrument for the welfare of the people or a tool in the hands of special privilege. Don't let anybody tell you that the Democratic and the Republican Party are just alike, and that it does not matter which party is in power. You need only to look at the record for the last 30 years, and you can see the difference. Under Republican rule in the 20s, the rich were getting richer and the poor were getting poorer. Under the Democratic administration of the past 16 years, all the people, business and farmers and workers alike, have marched forward toward a richer life. You know, last year, we had the greatest national income in the history of the world. It amounted to $217 billion. The farmer got his fair share of that income. Labor got its fair share of that income. And business got its fair share of that income. And that's what happened under the Democratic administration. Let's look at the Republican record on labor for just a moment. I wish I had time to discuss all the issues in this campaign, but it'd take me all afternoon, so I'm only going to just cite one or two instances. The 1920s under Republican rule were days of sweatshops when there was no floor under wages. In 1934, the Democratic administration put through the Wagner Act, the Magna Carta of labor. Labor began to get its rightful share of the national income. And that's what the Democrats believe in. It believes that every single person should have a rightful share of the national income. Democrats want the big fellows at the top to get the income and let a little trickle down to the everyday fellow. Well, now what the Republicans do as soon as they got control of this do-nothing, 80th Republican Congress? They passed the Taft-Hartley Act to weaken the strength of organized labor. The whole purpose of the Taft-Hartley Act is to undermine unions. And if labor is unable to secure decent wages so as to maintain its purchasing power, our whole economy will suffer, not just labor alone. That's why I vetoed the Taft-Hartley Act, you see. When the income's fairly distributed, when the farmers get high prices and can have great production and are assured that they're going to get fair prices for that great production, when labor gets fair wages, when the merchants can sell their merchandise at a fair profit, when the white-collar man has a fair salary, that means that everybody's getting a fair share of the good things of life. And that's what the Democratic Party stands for. Republicans aren't satisfied with all the damage they've done in this 80th do-nothing Congress. They want to finish tearing up the Wagner Act. They want to finish putting the farmer back where he'll get 3 cents for his hog, 8.5 cents for his tobacco, 15 cents for corn, and a quarter of a bushel for wheat. Now, I'm going to prove to you that the Republicans are not through with either labor or the farmer. One of the authors of the Taft-Hartley Act, Congressman Hartley, proposed only a few days ago to bring the unions under the laws against monopolies. That's a typical Republican Party act. They want to put the laboring man and his fight for good wages in the same class with the billion-dollar corporation. They want to do that so they can cut down on the working man's share of the national income. Be up to you on election day to determine whether you want that kind of government or not for the next 4 years. You can travel down the road to another depression and disaster with the Republican Party. Or you can keep this country on the road to progress and prosperity. Ours is the richest country on earth. We can make sure that all our people receive a fair share of what our mines and mills and farms produce or we can let a privileged few take the lion's share and let the rest of us have the crumb. That's the choice that's before you on November the 2nd. If all of you come out and vote, you know only a third of you voted in 1946, two-thirds of you stayed at home, and we got that 80th do-nothing Congress as a result of two-thirds of you not exercising the greatest privilege on earth, the privilege of taking a part in your government. And when you vote, you are a part of the government. When you don't vote, you don't have any right to kick about the kind of government you get. Now get out early in the morning on election day. All of you, get out early on election day and vote the Democratic ticket straight. And if you do that, you'll send Joe Bates back to the House, and you'll send Virgil Chapman to the Senate. And then we'll have people from Kentucky with whom I can work. And on top of that, you'll have the greatest vice president that the country has ever had in A. Alvin Barkley. And another thing. You'll prevent me from suffering from a housing shortage. I won't have to move out of the White House. How'd you like to meet my family? All right, here they are. Mrs. Truman. And my daughter Margaret. Another very great privilege. I want to present to you the First Lady of Kentucky and her beautiful daughter. Now, you know, I've had a grand time in Kentucky. And as I said before, I certainly hate to leave the state. But, you know, all the way across this great state, more than half the audiences have been made up of young people. People who seem to be interested in the future. And they are interested in the future, and this campaign is a vital one. All you young people, when you get control of the government, as you will in the next generation, will look back on this campaign as one of the key campaigns in the history of the whole country. It's a campaign to keep the special interests from getting control of the government and to let you young people have something to inherit when we get through in this generation. Thanks a lot. You've treated me awfully nice this great day.